Thank you for listening to A Time of Hope with highlights of our services last Sunday at the California United Church of Christ. A quick reminder that you'd be more than welcome to come to church this morning. We meet at 10:30, Sunday school's at 9:30. Our church is at 101 North Oak Street. Our sister church, Salem, has services at 8:30 out on Highway K. And you'd be more than welcome to go to either one if you don't have a church home of your own. Thank you again for listening.
Open our lips. Open our lips.
Our children's time.
There's a lot of you guys. Good morning. Oh, come on. I know you're louder than that. I don't want you to yell, but good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Come on, Caleb. Look, come on down, buddy. Okay. Hi, Jonathan. Okay. What is this? Okay. So how do I get it to, like, how do I get it to fly, or not fly, but how do I get it to, like, be big?
I'm blowing it.
So it can't just, like, hold on. I can't just, like, get air in it like this, or like this, or like this, or throwing it?
No.
Okay, let me see it. Let me see if I can do this. Believe it or not, I cannot blow up the balloon very well. I do. Hold on. Okay, that's it. Nora had baby powder in it, so that's the only balloon.
Can I keep the balloon?
No. Okay. Is that better?
Yeah.
Look, it's got all my hot air in it. Don't worry, I have more. Don't worry. Okay. So, someone needed to blow it at me with all my hot air so that it can float around. Okay, so gently kind of hand it to your friends. Let it float around. There you go. Gentle, like silent ball. Gentle. Oh, she didn't know what to think about that. Okay. Oh. Okay. Can you pass it? See, do you really think that we could have done that if it had no air in it? No? Okay. No. It would just fall. That's right, Jonathan. Oh, okay. Let's bring it back up here. Hand it to Nora. Get it back to Nora, please. Nope, I'm not Nora. There you go. Baby bubble. Okay. So we are a little like that balloon. By ourselves, we don't always know how to make the best choices. Sometimes we're selfish, unkind, and afraid. But God gives us the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm just looking at you. We can't see the Holy Spirit with our eyes, just like we can't see the air inside the balloon, but we can see what the Holy Spirit does. When the Holy Spirit lives in us, He helps us to be kind to each other, tell the truth, forgive each other, even when it's hard, love God, love our neighbors, and have courage when we're scared. The Bible calls the living by the Spirit. That means every day we ask God to help us think, speak, and act more like Jesus. So this week, remember, whenever you see the wind blowing in the trees, a balloon floating around, remember that even though we can't see the Holy Spirit, God is always with us, helping us live the way Jesus wants us to live. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much that you gave us your Holy Spirit. Help us to make good choices, to be kind, to forgive others, and to love like Jesus every day. Thank you for always being with us, even when we cannot see you. Amen.
Our special music is Vandy Miller and her children, Sophie and Bruce, singing You Are My All in All.
Strength when I am weak, you're the treasure that I seek,
Alan Chambers reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Matheny's sermon, Life in the Spirit.
Today's first scripture lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and return not thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish what I propose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth in singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign, which shall not be cut off. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from Psalm 65, verses 9 through 13. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it, thou greatly enrichest it. The river of God is full of water. Thou providest their grain, for so thou hast prepared it. Thou waterest its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. Thou crownest the deer with thy bounty. The tracks of thy chariot drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain, and they shout and sing together for joy. Here in today's readings.
This morning, the epistle lesson for this seventh Sunday after in Pentecost is taken from the book of Romans. I don't know how much you've read Romans. It's not exactly a book that you would turn to for your daily devotions like Psalm or the Gospels, but it's a very important book in the Christian faith. It was written by Paul, and Paul, in his early life, was a very devout Jewish person. He was more like an Orthodox Jewish person. He followed the law, and he was very dedicated to the Jewish faith. And when the Christian faith started after Jesus' death and resurrection, the church there grew rapidly. And it made him really upset because he felt it was against the Jewish faith. It was something not to be tolerated. So he began to travel around and persecute Christians. He persecuted them, and unfortunately, many of these people were put to death, simply because they were followers of Jesus, and he approved of that. Until one day, he was on his journey to a city, and Jesus appeared to him in a blazing light, and he fell to the ground, and he didn't know what was going on, but Jesus spoke to him and revealed himself to Paul. And from that moment on, the Apostle Paul began to be a great preacher and spokesman for Jesus. He traveled all over the known world on his missionary journeys talking about Jesus. And I don't know if you know it or not, but he received a tremendous amount of persecution in his travels speaking for Jesus. He was beaten with cords and whips a number of times. He was, put into dark places without food. He was shipwrecked a couple of times and didn't know if he was going to survive. And one of the passages that's in Galatians that we didn't read last week when we were talking about Galatians is he says, I bear in my body the marks of the Savior. And I can't say that. I cannot say to you that I bear in my body the marks of persecution and these things for Jesus, but he could in his journeys. So he writes this book of Romans, and this was written before the Gospels or any of these other letters, to set forth what he believed to be how God, through Christ, had come to transform people's lives, to bring about a wonderful change in people through what Christ was going to do. So he wrote this letter, or this book, whatever you want to call it, because he realized that in our natural self, we tend to be people who are self-centered. We make choices for ourselves. And he says right away in chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I mean, everyone has. Now, some Christians teach that we are born with sin. That's why the Catholic Church baptizes infants. They believe we're born with sin, and there's a number of Protestant churches that teach the same thing, that we're born with sin. I've never been able to understand how that could happen just from Adam sinning, that how that would be passed on to us. It doesn't make sense, but anyway, that's one of the teachings. But in the UCC, we tend to believe more that it's just a part of the human condition because of, you know, the fallen world, just because there's evil in the world, because there's too many things around us that would cause us to, make bad decisions. So today's lesson talks about this, and this is what Paul says when he's talking about the contrast between the old life and the new life. He said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful people, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. And those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what their nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful person is death, and the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by a sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by a sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God that lives in you. Because Christ is in you, your body is dead to sin, yet your spirit is alive through the righteousness of God. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. May God bless his word as we have heard it today. And so, Paul is trying to show this contrast between our old nature and our new nature that is in Christ. One of the verses that I thought about was found in Psalm 103, which is a marvelous psalm. And in that, the psalmist says, God has taken away our sins as far as the east is to the west. You know, how far is that? I mean, forever. And the wonderful thing about it is, it says that God does not remember our sins. Now, obviously we know that he doesn't forget, but what he's trying to say is, he doesn't hold those against us. He doesn't bring them up, as it were, to say, look what you've done. No, as we are forgiven, they're gone from us forever. And that's the promise we have from God. Our past failures and shortcomings no longer define who we are. We're new through what God has done in Jesus Christ. And we're celebrating during Pentecost the work of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about how the Holy Spirit comes and abides with us and brings us God's gifts and strengthens us and empowers us in many ways as we live our lives from day to day. And because of that, we're free from our old life to live a new life. One of the verses that I love is found in 1 Corinthians, and it says, if anyone is in Christ, that's a word that Paul uses talking about how we are in Christ, and because he's our Savior, he's our Lord, and we are following him, he's put his spirit within us, and so we're in Christ. He said, if anyone is in Christ, they become a new person. The old things have passed away, and all things become new. Now, for some people, that has happened very dramatically. I've known people who have had, dramatic changes in their life, and it's been wonderful. But for most people, it's a gradual, constant thing throughout their life, that as we live our lives, we worship, we pray, we read the scriptures, we have fellowship with other Christians, and through that, we grow. We grow in our understanding of the Christian faith, of who we are, of what we are, of how there are places of weakness in our life, but also places of strength. And it's a gradual, ongoing process which will continue on forever. You know, in certain churches here in our country, they teach sanctification. I think it's, I'm not going to mention the different churches, but they believe that, somehow you reach a point where you become sanctified, free from sin and everything. Well, I'd like to know how that happens, and how do you tell it happens, that you're sanctified? I don't think it's taught in the scripture, and it's not something that I believe in, but I do believe that we grow each week and each year in our understanding of God's love through the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but sometimes I am driving along in my car, sitting at my desk or something, and I begin to think about God and His love and His greatness, and I'm just kind of overwhelmed with how much He loves us and how much He desires to be a part of our life. I don't believe in what some people have done over the years, where they've tried to separate themselves from the world and like live in a cave and, you know, so that they're not affected by worldly things and not that way with the temptations and things like that. But you know what? It doesn't work that way. No matter where you go, there's still what's within you. And you can follow Christ and be Christ-like. And in a situation, and my thinking has always been, God is not asking us to withdraw. And unfortunately, that happens. I'm not here to criticize the Anabaptist tradition of Amish, Mennonite, and those, but I think they have it wrong that, you know, to pull away and to be, you know, separate, to be sinless or whatever they call it. God has called us to go forth into the world and share His love in every place we go and all the different dimensions that we're with, that we're at. And I love it that in Romans here, back in chapter 7, it talks about in chapter 8, it talks about how he said, you did not receive the Spirit that makes you slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship and daughter. And by the time, and so by Him we cry, Abba, Father. And that is a term of endearment. It's a term that is so special and intimate that speaks about our relationship to God, that we can come before Him and we know that when we come, He accepts us, He loves us, He welcomes us to Himself. That is really a special thing to know. And another of my favorite verses is at the end of chapter 8. It's a familiar verse. After talking about the things that we face in our old life and everything, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or danger or sword? No. And all these things were more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can never forget that. He says, nothing can separate us. You cannot think of anything that would ever separate you from God's love. That's one of the things that Paul wants us to know, that the old life is not what we're part of. We're a part of a new life that is found in Jesus Christ, now and always. Amen.